I'm in a series on Sunday mornings from the book of James. Say James. Remember what we said? This isn't James the apostle. This is James, the brother of Jesus, by apostle meaning the one that walked along with him, one of the inner three. But this is James, Jesus' half-brother that we've been studying. And we're in this series because it's so practical. We're calling it living it out. Living it out. Applying our faith to our everyday lives. In fact, this particular message, we've entitled it, Words as Well as Works. Earlier in James chapter 3, James covers a series of verses where he says, chapter 2 and 3, he says, you know what? This is what it's like for you to live by faith. And it's not just saying it, it's doing it. But now he comes back in chapter 3 and he says, yes, but it also includes your words. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. You know, Pastor, didn't we talk about words earlier in part of your message earlier in the series? And you're absolutely right. But what's amazing about this book is that James, Jesus' half-brother, who believes on him after the resurrection, he deals with the mouth or the tongue in every chapter within his letter. In fact, he talks more about the mouth or the tongue or our verbiage than any other New Testament author. He wants to drill down that our words are important to our faith. Do you realize you're going to spend one-fifth of your life talking? If you're a man, you've heard me say it before, but you speak approximately 20,000 words a day. Enough to fill a small book. Now, what is ironic about that is that it's interesting, the average man doesn't even read a small book every year. If you're a woman, you speak on average not 20,000 words, but 30,000 words a day. Now, you can see the problem that arises in a marriage at different times when there's a disparity of 10,000 words a day. It's like the man and his wife, they were going to a marriage counselor. And the counselor asked the question to the husband, do you resent that your wife gets the last word? And he said, no, I'm just glad when she finally gets to it. See, my words just got me in trouble with every female in the crowd. Some people are born with a silver foot in their mouth. But I want you to look. I know we're going to study James 3. But if you'll allow me to today, I'd like to attack the passage of Scripture, if I can use that verbiage. I would like us to approach the Word of God in this manner. I'd like to read through that as we present it. But I want us to read one verse of Scripture to start. Stand with me and turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse number 21. Proverbs 18 and verse number 21. If you're there, say amen. Proverbs 18, 21. If you've got a pew Bible there, it's page 1011. Look what the word says. The tongue, say the tongue. Say it nice and loud. The tongue has the power of life and death. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Let's read it out loud together, shall we? Nice and loud voice, shall we? The tongue has the power of life and death. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Lord, I pray your anointing upon the word today. Thank you for this practical book that your child, your half-brother, gave to us thousands of years ago. And I pray, Lord, in these next few minutes that the word would come alive to us, that, Lord, you would speak a fresh word from your throne, from your mouth, Lord, to our ears even today. May we have ears attuned. May we be quick to listen to what you're saying to us today. I ask, Lord, in these next few minutes that as I speak, it really not be Brad Trask, that it be your voice. Lord, if you can't speak through me, speak in spite of me to these people that you and I love today. We thank you for the beautiful day that you've given us outside here in Michigan. I bless you, Lord. And Lord, I trust you. I believe you're in control of all things. And so I bless your name with your people, and we lift up a voice of praise unto the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords today. In Jesus' mighty and wonderful and awesome name. And everyone would say, amen and amen. You may be seated. Now you can turn over to James chapter 3 if you want to work along with us. The tongue, say it one more time, the tongue. The tongue, Brighton, is a weapon that is more powerful than any weapon known to man. And it has been in existence since the creation of mankind. It's been known to start wars. It's been known to ruin friendships, spark national revolutions. It's killed more reputations, wrecked more homes, split more churches, driven men and women out of the ministry, and caused more hatred than any other weapon in the world. Contrary to popular opinion, the most powerful weapon I would submit to you is not atomic or nuclear bombs. This is, I wrote a while back, and it speaks to me. It's not a Patriot missile or a new Daisy Cutter bombs our military has been using overseas. In fact, it's not even a weapon made by man. Concealed as a sniper, quick as a bullet and deadly as a gun, this 3-inch animal lives in a pool of saliva behind an angry cage of teeth, and it's known as my tongue and your tongue. Our mouths get us in trouble. James talks more about the mouth, as I mentioned, than any other book. Every chapter, and I want you to look at three facts, three reasons why we need to manage our mouths as followers of Jesus. And it's not just works, it's our words that are a part of our faith. I want you to jot down three ideas today. Three reasons to manage your mouth. First off, my tongue, your tongue directs where you go. It directs where I go. James chapter 3, look what James writes. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Consider a bit. Right on the front row is Kelly Garvin. And she grew up in a home that had horses around all the time. She's smiling. You can steer a huge stallion of more than 2,000 or 3,000 pounds by just having a 95-pound jockey on its back, because there's a little metal device strategically placed over the tongue to guide that horse. And likewise, I would submit to you that the tongue controls the direction of your life wherever you want to go. And a little bit or a word, if you will, can influence the whole direction of your life. Has tremendous influence over the destiny of our lives. Can I ask you? Where are you headed in life? I'll ask you another question. Where do you want to be 10 years from now? Look at your conversations. What do you talk about? What do you talk about the most? James says the tongue is a small part of the body. It's teeny comparatively. And yet, because it's small, you may think that it's not significant. I want to say today, it's anything but insignificant. It has tremendous power. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 3 says this: he who guards his lips guards his life, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin. Here's the fact, jot it down in your notes if you've got your hand out today. You shape your words, and then your words shape you in life. You shape your words, and then your words will shape you. He gives us a second illustration there. Did you see it? Or verse number 4. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are steered. Say steered. Say it nice and loud. Steered. If you're at home, say steered. Steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Have you ever considered, right, how even a small number of words will determine the fabric and the destiny of your life. On December 24th, 1992, I said three words to Rhonda. I love you. And those three words led to an engagement on Christmas Eve. Four words to an individual will change your life to a lifetime of commitment. Will you marry me? Four words will change a family's destiny or a family dynamic. Let's start a family. Eight words can change your lifetime vocation. My major in college is going to be. One word spoken to Jesus can ensure an eternity in heaven. Just saying yes to the Lord. Saying one word no to Christ can ensure an eternity without God. It just very few words can change a destiny. Yet a relatively teeny rudder directs huge ocean liners. You've been on them or you've seen them out in the middle of the waves and the winds and the sea. Likewise, my tongue will steer where I'm going to go in life. It's the steering wheel for my life. It's the guidance system, if you will. And if you don't like the way that you're headed, can I say it kindly? You need to change the way that you talk. My tongue is a steering wheel for life. That's what you and I have to grasp today. Look what it says there in the message, that passage that we're reading today. Words kill, Proverbs 18:21. Words kill, words have life. They're either poison, say poison, or fruit. You choose. You choose. My tongue directs where I go. Secondly, we need to understand the power of words because my tongue can destroy what I have. Right there, James gives us two more illustrations. In James chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body. There he's referring to it again. It's just minutiae compared to the rest of your body. But it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. Notice the dichotomy or the juxtaposition. Small but great, numerous times in the passage. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and it is in itself set on fire by hell. Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 26, verse 20, for lack of wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no whisperer, contention quiets down. He uses this illustration here. James does. Imagine this beautiful forest. Tall, beautiful trees, floral and fauna everywhere. And now imagine in just 1 minute, completely destroyed by a little match. It only takes a spark, like they say, to get a fire going. 1983. In Australia, one fire destroyed, one little match destroyed more than 6,000 square miles of forestry, livestock, and villages, all just from that one spark. Thousands of lives can be destroyed just by rotten words. I wonder today, how many people, because of a careless word, have destroyed a marriage? Or there's been a career that's been destroyed. Or a reputation. Or the reputation of another. Or a church division has been caused. Or a friendship has been lost just by a couple of words. The tongue has the ability to direct, but it has the ability to destroy what you have. Let me try and illustrate this. When I was a little guy, on Fridays, you know what, I would be watching TV. And there was a show, I didn't watch it very often. As I got older, I've been kind of intrigued a little bit by it. But they used to have, every so often, Fridays in the 70s and 80s, they used to have these Dean Martin entertainment hours. and they would have all these different entertainers there, and they would pick one guy out. I can remember Muhammad Ali and some of the others that they would make fun of. You know what they were called? The Dean Martin roast. Why was it? Why was it called a roast? It was called a roast because they would use their words to stick it to the person, to fry them, if you will, to roast them. We used to say when we were little kids, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Can I tell you that's really not true? Words destroy homes and they destroy people. Proverbs 18:20 in the Good News says, you have to live with the consequences of everything you say. Proverbs 21:23 in the Good News, if you want to stay out of trouble, be careful. Say, be careful. Be careful. What you say. Now, he uses a fourth illustration just in this little passage. He talks about a zoo. Look at verses 7 and 8, James 3. All kinds of animals have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Since I was a little tight, I still want to take my kids to the circus when it comes to town. They're because of animal cruelty laws and all that, and I understand that. But I used to love going to the circus when I was a little guy. I would watch how they could tame those animals, and you could see this big elephant climb up on a stool and stand on one leg. Or we would go to SeaWorld and see the dolphins or the killer whales that are named at orcas, but yet they're trained by the as mammals by the trainers. But it says there, no man. These big, huge animals can be trained, but no man can tame the tongue. Sometimes you ever had that happen in life? You just didn't even know what came out of your mouth. The Bible says it's full of deadly poison. The word there in the Greek is snake venom. You know what? For just a few drops of snake venom, it can kill. We had an evangelist that we sent him out from here, Andy Lappins. And Andy is pastoring in Colby, Kansas this morning. And Andy was on the Kensington Trail. That's why when Ron and I take our kids, we watch. Because there was a Massasauga rattler that bit him at Kensington. Andy did, was bitten. And he said just within an hour or so, his arm swelled up. He almost died and just swelled up about three times the normal size just from a few drops of snake venom. You can assassinate somebody with your words. You can assassinate their character. The tongue is a deadly poison. Look what the word says. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 and 30. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. You know, we've got to watch what we say, don't we? It directs, our tongue directs where we're going to go. It will destroy what I have. You know, I'm not a big marriage counselor. I often get calls for counseling, and I'll do an initial consultation usually, and then direct the man or the wife or the couple to professionals like John Hager, or there's a lady in the community, Christy Lindberg, or others. And it's just not my gifting. But can I tell you, and just my interaction, it's usually, although finances can cause problems in marriages, you know what? More than anything else, the thing that can destroy a marriage quicker than anything is the verbiage that is used. That it's just, people, husbands and wives are firing daggers or arrows at each other, and it just breaks down communication so quick. My tongue, it thirdly will display who I am. It destroys what I have. It'll direct where I go, but it displays who I am. I can't hide my character behind words, because my words are going to give me away. It's what's inside of me comes out in my words. James points out how inconsistent we are in our speech. Look what he says. He uses a couple more illustrations. Verses 11 and 12. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the very same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. He talks about plants and wells, if you will. And we say these contradictory things out of our same mouth. We come to church and we're praising God, and then we walk out, we get into our car on the way home, and we're arguing with the kids or our spouse before we ever get home. And that shouldn't be. Can I say something to you, friends? Some people thought I was going to talk about a political response today from what's happened. You know what? The fact of the matter is, I'm going to let my speech guide my life. It's going to direct where I go. I'm not going to be a doom and gloomer. I'm going to say, Lord, I don't have to understand, but I trust you. I look unto the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Lord, I don't have to understand. I'm going to praise you because I look at what's going on around about us, and we must be one day closer to your return, so I'm following hard after you. Three of you are excited about that. Honestly, I'm not going to let a vote of people that I don't even know in great part determine whether I've got the joy of the Lord. I don't believe that's God's will. I'm going to praise the Lord because he's worthy to be praised. I'm not going to be a doom and gloomer. I may not agree with the political stance, but can I tell you? The fact of the matter is, my God is still on the throne, and he leads this nation, and he leads this life, not anything happening on Pennsylvania Avenue. And that's the way I'm going to live. And it's so amazing how our attitudes can change in such a short time. And James is saying, don't let that be. Don't let the fruit of your life be determined by you using negative language. It shouldn't be that you're speaking words positively and then with fresh water, if you will, and then all of a sudden you've got bitter rind water that's coming forth from your lives. As believers, we can't live that way. We see people, you know what, they almost live like a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. We're praising God and then cursing other people. Cursing there doesn't mean using profanity. It's meaning labeling people with put-downs. You're good for nothing, or you'll never amount to anything, or you're just like this, and put somebody down with a curse of your verbiage. James says we all have the problem of consistency. One minute we can be blessing others and the next minute cursing them. And the point is that whatever is in the well is going to come out in the water. I'll repeat that again. Whatever's in the well is going to come out in the water, he's saying there. He uses the other illustration. Whatever is in the tree is going to come out in the fruit. Can I ask you? Our kids, I'm thankful. Their mother has them turned on to apples. Our kids love apples. They started out liking the Granny Smith ones are the green ones, right, honey? They used to love the Granny Smith apples. Now, not so much. They like the red ones, the Honey Crisp or the Gala. Man, they love those. Macintosh. They love apples. But can I ask you, what's the likelihood of an apple tree producing cherries? Absolutely none. My problem, if you have a verbiage problem with your tongue where you curse occasionally. You say demeaning things. Can I say this to you, friend? It's not the tongue isn't your problem. It's the problem is your heart. What's inside of me comes out. My mouth eventually reveals what's inside my heart. I can try and fool you, but eventually it's going to catch up with me. Has anyone ever said, I asked this. You know what? I don't know what got into me. I acted totally out of character. Can I tell you, Jesus talked about Freudian slips hundreds of years before Freud was ever born. You know what he said in Matthew chapter 12? He said, "For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks." Out of the overflow. My tongue directs where I go. It can destroy what I have. It displays who I am. As the worship team comes back. My tongue reveals my character. Jot these in real quick. All right? A person with a harsh tongue, right, has an angry heart. A person with a harsh tongue has an angry heart. A person with an overactive tongue has an unsettled heart. A person with a filthy tongue has an impure heart. A person with a boasting tongue has a proud heart. A person with a critical tongue has a bitter heart. And I want you to get this down. That's why I left the blanks for you here. You ready? Your tongue is a symptom and not the source of the problem. It's just symptomatic. Remember we used the illustration, you went to a doctor, you know what, Ron and I went and had COVID testing and we tested negative. We didn't have the virus. But can you imagine if we would have walked in and the physician's assistant would have taken a gauze and kind of scraped off some film on my tongue and said, "Okay, Reverend, I got the film off, you're okay." No, I would have said, "What kind of quack are you? I mean, that's foolish." But the tongue reveals what's in the heart. Just like the tongue depressor and the doctor looking in, observing, the tongue will reveal, is there a health issue? And for you and I in our lives, you know what? All these things that happen with our tongue, whether it's overactive, filthy, boasting, critical, the fact of the matter is, it reveals that there's a heart issue. So let's cover it real quick. Less than 5 minutes. You ready? If you're with me, say amen. Amen. What's the solution for your life? Because those were all about the problems. Here's about the solution. First off, you got to get a new heart. You have to have a new heart. It's a heart issue. Remember? And so we're asking the Lord to give us a transplantation of our heart. Look what Ezekiel 18:31 says. Rid yourselves of all your offenses you've committed and get a new heart and a new spirit. You see here, hear me again. Painting the outside of the pump doesn't mean anything if there's poison down in the well. So you've got to say, "Lord, what this issue is, I can't wash my mouth out with soap. The fact of the matter is, I confess before you that these external issues are because there's a heart problem. Cleanse me, Lord." If you're a believer and you struggle with your verbiage, the fact of the matter is you say, "Lord, I need a fresh baptism of your Holy Spirit in my life. Cleanse me afresh." The word tells us, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, you've heard it. "Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all things become new." He'll make you new. If you're here today, can I tell you, when you surrender your life to Jesus, and it's a progressive work, I'm not saying you're not going to miss it at different times, but can I tell you, one of the things that will be a telltale sign that you are surrendered to Jesus is your language is going to change. Your language is going to change. You know what? Those F-bombs and those callous words are going to be changed, and you're going to speak words that have life when you've surrendered your life to Jesus. It's getting pretty quiet. You would have been wise to say amen there. Jesus. Get a new heart. Seek the Lord's help every day. You need supernatural power. James says there, nobody can do this. What was he saying? You can't do it on your own. You need the help of Almighty God. You go to the Lord every day, cry out like the psalmist did. "Set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips." That's a great word for each of us to memorize and apply. "Lord, don't let me gossip today. Don't let me slander. Don't let me be a hypercritical person. Oh God, do a new work. I don't want to be judgmental, Lord. I come before you. Do a new work. Set a guard over my tongue." I love the great evangelist Sidlow Baxter. He said the proof that God's Spirit is in your life is not that you speak in an unknown tongue, but you control the tongue that you do have. Get into God's Word every day. The Bible says that the Bible, the Word of God, is like a washing over your entire person. You know, just like when you pour a little bit of detergent into that washing machine and it gets in that, and that wash cycle is agitating the detergent through those clothes to remove the dirt. That's what the Word of God does in your life. As you read it and it deals with your heart and your life, the Word of God is cleansing you and it's redeeming your mind and your heart. That's what Teen Challenge, Life Challenge is all about. Cleanse those guys and those gals, and it renews their heart and their mind. That's what happens when you and I spend time in the Word of God. Those things that are unruly in your heart and your life, the Lord removes them, cleanses us. My father-in-law used to say to Ron and Jeffrey growing up all the time, that computer statement, garbage in, garbage out, kids. Truth in, truth out. You get in the Word of God, it cleanses you. Last thing, just think before you speak. Engage your mind before you put your mouth in gear. And you say, well, Pastor, tell me scripture and verse. I'll tell you scripture and verse right from this book. James chapter 1, verse 19. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Did you see the order there? If you'll be quick to listen. How many times in my conversations with people have I heard something and I wanted to interrupt and just give a conclusion to it? And if I would have just been so better off just being a person that listens to the whole matter. Quick to listen, slow to speak. If I'm in a hurry to listen, then I'll be slower to speak and slower to become angry. If I listened around, if I'm a better listener, hey, can I tell you, we'll have less conflict. Now some of you say, do you guys have conflict? Once in a while. Lord, forgive us. Yeah, you know what? You get two strong people together? Are you kidding me? That's why he's given us the Word. Quick to listen. How many of you need to be better listeners? Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Stand with me, would you please? I want to ask you just a couple of questions, and we'll close. Those of you watching online, I want to ask you as well. And I want to just put it down to this past week. Let's start where we left off last week, about this time, 10:39, it says, a.m. Eastern Standard Time. If we were to play a tape back of your conversations over this past week, what would we learn about you and I? My tongue displays who I am. It directs where I go. It can destroy what I have. And you have an option with your words, friend. Your tongue can be used to bless the Lord and build others up. It can build others up in the faith, or it can be used to blast people. You can hurt people, or you can heal people. You can either develop people. How about with those kids? Just encouraging them. Even when Rhonda corrects our kids, you know what she says? You're amazing. You just got to do this. You can destroy them or you can develop them. You can either delight people or you can devastate people. What do you want to do with that tongue? Why is it? Here's my theology, and I'll close. I'm a Pentecostal. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to baptize people in His power. And if you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit by evidence than speaking in other tongues, the Lord has that gift for you. please ask the Lord if it'll help me serve you better. Lord, would you do that in my heart and my life? But here's also my theology. I don't know. It's just my thought life. I haven't read about it. I just believe that it seems to make sense. That this thing that has caused such destruction for mankind is what the Lord gets a hold of when I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit. And he gives me a new tongue. And that's the first evidence. It's not the conclusive evidence. It's not everything. The fruit of the Spirit is what I'm seeking. The personality of Jesus. But this is the initial physical evidence that I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I will speak with a new tongue. This thing that has devastated mankind, James 3, is what the Lord gets a hold of. And he changes the course of my life because of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And in your life, in my life, friend, I want to be somebody. Now, am I going to correct from the Word of God to the body of believers? Sure. Sometimes the Word cuts, and it does that. As a preacher, I've got to do that. I want to be obedient. But for the most part in my life, when I take my last breath or when Ron and I resign from Brighton Assembly of God, I want the people to say about our lives, you know what? When I was around the guy, when I was around the lady, they built us up. They edified us by the words that they gave. That's my prayer. I was preaching a number of years ago. I was attending an evangelist service, and I wasn't on the road preaching. But I went to hear Martha Tennyson. Martha's been a great friend of our church. And she was preaching in the district, and the pastor invited me to go out. I think we had just adopted one of our children, and so I was on my own that Sunday night to hear Martha. And the pastor invited me to go out to eat with he and his family and with Martha and Don Tennyson. And while we were there, I think we were at Big Boy. Martha loved Big Boy. She loves Big Boy. She would order, I want a salad. She would order a salad, no lettuce, please. I was like, that's vegetables, Martha. But while we were there, the pastor's son ordered a soft drink, iced tea or pop. And he said, when she brought it, she set it down for him, and he said, you know what, can I have a straw? I'll never forget this. And it's just kind of glossing, but it speaks. You know, when the son, probably in his mid to late 20s, on staff with the father, when the waitress server set down the soft drink and the son asked for a straw, his dad immediately responded, oh, you got to have a sissy stick, huh? I'll never forget the look on that son's face, even in his mid-20s. Just the joy went out of it. We can either bless or we can blast. I want to be somebody that lives as a blesser and encourages, don't you?